College that I'm here in the building, lovely to see you here, and lovely to see some of those on Zoom. I'm
pretty sure there are many others, but we cannot see you all because of a limited screen that we have here. I hope all of us enjoyed last Sunday's service, and especially the sermon. It was well received, and we were in need to hear such things. Challenging, and hopefully we had a good time of reflecting upon what we've heard throughout the week. Also, we had a good information meeting last Wednesday evening when we gathered together on Zoom to discuss several things, to offer you some reports, and also to share some needs that we have as a church. I think it was a good meeting, and together with Andy we evaluated this on Friday, and we had good feedback. Also, yesterday we had, for the first time in over a year, the merging team meeting here in the building in a circle. It was really good to see one another, most of those who are part of the merging team, and we are now exploring what we can do in order to implement that decision with prudence. So pray for us and for the entire team, as it's not easy in these confusing times to know exactly, to have the clearer understanding on what's best to do during these days. It is not a matter of if we are going to do it. We are all in favor. The churches voted for this. God gave us the vision. So it's not a matter of is it going to happen or not? It is just a matter of when and how. Just pray for the entire team. As today we celebrate Pentecost, I have to say it is for the very first time in my life as a preacher and as a pastor that I'm not preaching in line with this event, with this calendar. I'm not necessarily feeling comfortable about it, but I prayed about this, and I decided that we better come back to our study in Peter, just because 2 weeks break, considering I haven't finished the sermon last two Sundays ago, it would have been in detriment of fully understanding what Peter, inspired by the Holy Spirit, wanted us to learn together. But I will refer to what Marie read in Acts chapter 2, just before I dive in the sermon, just as a way of encouraging those who have still not gathered the courage to try coming to the building. If they don't have serious reasons, if they do have, as I said on Wednesday, we fully understand and we don't want to put any pressure. We fully understand and we are sensitive to this thing. But those who may just realize it's a lot more comfortable and they find it hard to return, there might be people, I don't know, I'm just saying, there might be people who have no problem going to Tesco or to other places to shop. They may have no problem mingling with their friends in other parts, but they are not still ready to come back in the building. I want to read once again first verse in Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. It would have been so lovely to experience this today. We knew it's not possible to be all together, but as many as possible, to be all together in one place. Now, I acknowledge that we can be in one place and not be all together. It happens. That togetherness refers to unity that we've just learned 2 Sundays ago.
In the days when people could gather in the mass of stadiums, watching football, it can be like thousands and thousands of people packed. They are in one place. But they are not necessarily together, united, because they are divided. supporting two different teams. They are rivals, actually. Is it possible to be in one place and not be together? We pray that we should be together, and we look forward to the day
we can be together in one place. We can experience that togetherness even through Zoom. We do. But it's not the same. As the summer comes, and I know many of us are looking forward to holidays, I certainly do, many of you. Imagine that I decide to go with my family, and we may do it actually pretty soon for a weekend. And we choose the space, the place, where to go, we make all the plans, and then I say, you know, you just go. I decide to stay at home, but I will join you on Zoom. You know, we will be there. We can still do lots of things together, but I'll be on Zoom. I don't think my boys are looking forward to that. You know, so yes, when we have no other options, these things is very useful. But when we have, and I pray that each one of us will be led by the Holy Spirit of God, whom we celebrate today, who dwells in us, and that's such an honor that God gave us in these days after Jesus' ministry on the cross and his resurrection. In this new era, we are experiencing a privilege that none of those in the Old Testament ever had. There were people experiencing the Holy Spirit in the past, but the Holy Spirit came upon them, never dwelling. It couldn't do that before the ministry of Christ. And now the Holy Spirit dwells in us permanently. We just need to allow him to manifest in us and through us and to guide us. So I encourage you today after the service to have a good time spent with the Holy Spirit of God. Ask him, what would you like me to do? Would you guide me next Sunday to the building or still on Zoom? Let's evaluate the risks and the benefits. And then together with the Holy Spirit, with Jesus, with God, the Trinity, take the right decision. Make sure it's not taking in the flesh. That's all I can say. But if it's taken together with God, and this is what he advise you and guide you to do, we fully understand and we will never judge. I cannot judge. I cannot judge why somebody is here and is not here. I'm not allowed to do that. But instead, as a minister, as someone who needs to lead the way and encourage you, and sometimes the Bible says we need to rebuke as well. I don't like it, but we have to do it. This is the ministry of preaching the word of God. I need to make you aware that there is a danger in this as well. And we may allow sometimes the flesh to manifest more than we should. With this said, open your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 3. The same text, starting from verse 8 to 17. To 14. 14, I couldn't read it. I choose one of those small printed Bible today, NIV. I want to reread it again. We should be familiar already. Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Father, we thank you once again for your word, who is a living word,
who can provide not just information, but transformation in our lives. And we thank you that we have the freedom to listen to it, to read it, to studying it, and we can do it in the community, in togetherness. But we acknowledge that without the assistance of your Holy Spirit, we cannot fully understand. We cannot get the deeps, the riches of it. And sometimes, without your assistance in our flesh, we are tend to resist portions of your word because we don't like it in the flesh. It is contrary to what we hear outside the church, in the society. So we pray that in obedience, you will give such minds and hearts that will receive your word and allow it to work and transform and change and mold our characters in the likeness of Jesus. We thank you for your Holy Spirit who dwells in us, who guides us, who is here to support us, to open our spiritual eyes, to provide wisdom. We often think we have it. We often think we have intelligence, understanding, training. We've been through schools, but we are nothing without you. Really nothing. So give us humble minds and hearts and attitudes, and allow your Holy Spirit to minister to each one of us here in the building, those at home, those who are going to listen this sermon, who knows, maybe years after on the website. We pray for each one of them that you'll bless them in unique ways. You bless us. You bless me as I'm going to share it. For your glory, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So two Sundays ago, I've entitled this sermon, Guidelines for Christian Living. These guidelines are mainly in the context of the church. Later on, starting verse 13, we'll have further guidelines, if you like, on how to manifest our faith outside. Both can come under the same title. And last, the previous Sunday, it wasn't last Sunday, two Sundays ago, we only managed to cover basically the first point. And even at that point, I had to skip over some information. We look at those attitudes that Peter, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, called us to manifest. First of all, to cultivate. These are inner qualities. So we need to cultivate them. And as we cultivate them, then we manifest them and put them into actions. And we've concluded that all these things, being like-minded or in harmony, unity with one another, having basically the mind of Christ, being sympathetic, love one another, being passionate, compassionate, and humble, all these reflect a Christ-like character. Now, today I should start with what I meant to end two Sundays ago. I meant to say at the end that these are not things that we can manifest in the flesh, on our own, without the assistance of the Holy Spirit of God. These are fruits of the Holy Spirit and His ministry in us. And Peter already, from the beginning of his letter, he, if you remember, long time ago, it seems ages since we start First Peter, he made it clear that we were chosen by God according to His foreknowledge, being sanctified through the work of the Spirit already. Then, with verse 3, he says that we've been given a new birth. So now we are a new creation. And these are fruits or manifestation of whom we are in Christ. These cannot be experienced outside the grace of God, outside of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. If we are not already those who have been experienced, like the what it means to be born again, having that new birth. And in chapter 3, when we had that tough subject of submission, Peter brought in discussion that hidden person of the heart. And I believe that hidden person of the heart is not just an inner quality of a person, but spiritually speaking, it's that new person in Christ. We share in his nature. We have a new nature, a nature of God in us. And because of that, he is now calling us to manifest that nature in unity, being sympathetic, brotherly love, compassionate, and humble, to be like Christ. These are not things we are called to tick in the boxes in order to receive God's favor. But because we already receive God's favor, because we are chosen by him, because we've been given a new birth, because we have that inner nature of God in us, the hidden person of the heart. Now Peter says, manifest it. These are inner attitudes of a born-again person. These are supernatural things that cannot be manifested just in the flesh. You can try it. You can be trained. You can read about. You can do whatever you can. When you will be under pressure, these things will not come out. Now, we've covered pretty much, not in depth, all these attitudes. And then towards the end, we moved from what he says in verse 8 to verse 9 to those reactions. And you see, reactions are not that easy to be controlled. When we react, we really prove who we are. We can exercise self-control in pleasant circumstances. We can control ourselves. We can control our vocabulary, our attitudes, everything. But when something happens and we the instinctive ways to react, then that's something more difficult to practice. And this is what he says, do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you are called, so that you may inherit a blessing. So I've already explained that we are not called here just to do half of it, like, okay, we shall not react bad. We shall not respond with the same way. And I've used that plastic way of saying, you know, when in the traffic, somebody cross our way or something happens and we tend to react, we just hold our reaction and then we stop. But he says, on the contrary, do something else. Bless. Bless those who insult you, who wrong you. That's the biggest problem or challenge. Now, our reactions prove a lot more than we think. And just to link a little bit with what I intended to share with you weeks ago in first part of chapter 3, when we spoke about submission, especially in the family. But because of time, I couldn't. Several times in chapter 2 and 3, Peter calls us to respect one another. He calls us to respect. In chapter 2, verse 17, for instance, show proper respect to everyone. Everyone. not just to the emperor, not those in authority, but to everyone. Show proper respect, even when they wrong you, right? Then within the family, again, he is calling us to respect one another. If it's the case of a Christian woman respecting her unbelieving husband, and the other way. Then we had that interesting example of Sarah that I haven't touched it. I haven't touched it because I didn't have time. And then sometimes I have to decide on the pulpit what I leave out. When we read here that Sarah called Abraham her Lord, I don't want to spend too much time because this is not a subject that I will need to develop, but it's linked with this idea of respect. Under what sort of circumstances, we have only one reference in the Old Testament. Under what sort of circumstances Sarah called Abraham her Lord? Was it like every day in the morning she prepared coffee and she came to Abraham and said, Lord, my Lord, would you like a cup of coffee? My Lord, Abraham, would you like a cup of tea? My Lord, would you like some biscuits? No. When you go back to read, she did it under pressure and not to Abraham. She referred to Abraham as her Lord when she speaks with the angels. So without going in depth, because this is not the purpose, I don't want to divert today. We are talking about respect. If you truly want to show respect to someone, here is what I've learned in time. The true respect, it's being shown, or it is shown, not directly when you address a person, because you can address a person very nice and polite, and then you turn, and in your mind, you think completely different, contrary. Under breath, Sarah, under pressure, Sarah, when she speaks with somebody else, she refers to Abraham as her Lord. That is respect. How do you think of someone in your own mind? And how do you refer to someone when you speak with someone else? You will show me a lot more respect in your own mind, the way you think about me, and the way you think about me with other people, than when you come to me and say, Pastor Daniel, how are you doing today? Would you like? I'm not so much impressed about that. A real respect is, how do you think in your own heart, in your own mind about a person? And especially under pressure. And how do you speak about that person in the presence of others? Especially when they speak bad about that person, I would say. How would you join a conversation when people gossip and they speak about a person and you just join there? Would you follow the trend? Or you just step in and you show respect by speaking good things about that person? That is really respect. Not directly towards a person, but the way we think and speak about that person in their absence, in their absence. So with that in mind, we are now called to bless others, but that comes only when we show respect from one another. When we look at anyone outside, you know, our inner friend circle sometimes, to those who in our society today, they may beg in the Tesco, or they've done bad things. They are using alcohol. They are using drugs. They prostitute themselves and all kinds of things. And we look at them. How do you think about them? And I love that example we've listened to and seen on the screen, presented by the pastor who preached last Sunday. with a jar with syringes and so on. Because when we look at those who may be for a while in their lives so down, they lost their dignity, they lost their value, they are abusing themselves. But we look at them as the creation of God. God created each one of us in his likeness. Each human being, regardless of race, statute, how sinful they are, each one of us, we have dignity and value in God's eyes. And we are called to respect them. And even when they are doing evil, do not repay even evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you are called, so that you may inherit a blessing. I've told you last time that this is a difficult text, because we don't really know, grammarly speaking, we can interpret it in two different ways. Are we called to bless people, or are we called to inherit a blessing? The way you put it can be both ways, and a lot of commentators and preachers have focused on this, and they try to get the meaning, and there are different views. And I have to share what I believe here, but before that, what does it mean to bless? What does the word blessing mean? It's one of those Christianism we've learned since we were young. We are using it, and sometimes we forget its meaning. So may I dare to ask, not a rhetorical question, so some answers from those of you in the building. How would you define the word blessing? What does it mean for you, blessing? Sorry? Goodness. So practicing goodness, being good to someone, means blessing them. Okay? Giving help and support. It is a blessing for people. Right. Wishing things will go well for them. Okay? Which is very good. Because sometimes we cannot, like when you are in traffic, somebody suddenly cross your way and you are just about to cause an accident and it wasn't your fault and you suddenly want to say some words. But that person gone and you cannot show goodness and the other things, but you can wish things to go well for them. You can easily say a short prayer, bless you, and hopefully you will not do the same to others and end up in an accident. I wish you well. Good. Other? From my language point of view, I'm aware that in different languages, things can have different meanings. So I wonder, in Ghana, in your language, does it have any flavor in it different than in English? And those in Caribbean, they may want to translate literally what it means. Mm-hmm. Right, okay. In Caribbean language, is it exactly the same or there? Yeah, the same like in English. So let me complicate the thing. We are called to bless one another. We are all looking for God's blessing in our lives. So to show goodness to us, to have good intention to us, to show us favor and wishing us well. But how about when we are called to bless God? We are called to bless God, right? Bless the Lord, O my soul. Yeah? So how do we bless God? Shall we offer him, by praising him, yeah? We praise God, we speak. I don't want to give you my definition. So by praising God, thanking him for his goodness and his grace. Right. Let me read some of the definitions I found in proper dictionaries, not theological ones. Favor, protection, a prayer asking for divine favor and protection. Grace said before or after a meal in the dictionary. The act of words of a person who blesses. I found this in the dictionary and I really like it because this is in line with my understanding. A special favor, mercy, or benefit. We often refer to blessings of liberty. We have a benefit of freedom, right? But in general, it's a favor or a gift bestowed by God to us. If we go to a more theological approach or understanding blessings in the Christian context, again, blessing means a special favor, mercy, or benefit, a favor of gift bestowed by God, exactly the same things, thereby bringing happiness. In Romanian language, we have a combination of two words, which literally translated means speaking well of. Blessing, speaking well of. And we refer it in general to exactly the same things I've just said. Rarely a Romanian would translate it literally and think of it as speaking well of. But years back, it was a click for me, the penny fell, and I look, Looking in the Old Testament, when it was this practice that a father would bless his children. So thinking of Esau blessing, Jacob. No, it wasn't Esau, it was Isaac. Isaac blessing Jacob. He spoke well, wishing well, exactly what you said. And for them, remember that rivalry between Jacob and Esau. And Jacob wanted to steal the blessing. And what was that blessing? A prayer when his father would lay his hand upon that and they spoke well. You are welcome to, if you like, open your Bible. In Genesis chapter 27, we read from verse 27. So he, Jacob, yes, went to him and kissed him. When Isaac caught the smell of his clothes, he blessed him and said, "Ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you heaven's dew and earth's richness, yeah, an abundance of grain and new wine. May nations serve you, and peoples bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may the sons of your mother bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed, and those who bless you be blessed." And that was the blessing. And for that, Jacob had done everything he could to obtain it. So in other words, he was so eager to receive this blessing, which is nothing else than a series of affirmations, positive affirmations upon him, or wishes or desires for him. So when we think of blessing, we can look at the blessing in terms of positive affirmations or positive actions. We can bless someone by speaking well of, wishing them well, or doing things by action. That will be a blessing for them. And in this regard, when we are called to bless God, is to speak well of God, to praise Him. We can speak well of God when we speak to one another. We praise God, we speak well of Him, or we speak directly to God, affirming who God is. And that's a blessing to God. So when somebody does something wrong to you, says Peter now, return not with evil, not in the same way, react with blessings. If you are that person who have a new nature of God in you, produced by the Holy Spirit of God, you have that hidden person of the heart dwelling in you, is a new nature of God. It says, let that person, which is no other than, you know, Christ-like character in us, manifest, speak well in return, and offer good actions. It happened that soon after I preached that sermon, without going in depth about this, but I had it in mind, a few days after, I was looking to buy a specific item, a hard drive for one of my computers. So I found one on internet in Handsworth. So rather than order it online and wait a few days to come, I thought, well, I'll go and collect it today, pay cash. I made arrangements with the person online, the time and everything. So I went there and I was waiting 20 minutes, over 20 minutes. I kept texting and saying, I'm here, I'm here, I'm waiting. I had no reply. So I said in my mind, I'll wait another 5 minutes and I'll go. And the person finally said, give me 1 minute. I was waiting another 5 minutes and he didn't turn up. So then I finally said, I'm leaving. I've been here along, I'm leaving. I start having a sense that something might be wrong with that person. I couldn't explain it. So I left. Just when I was about from Handsworth back to one stop shopping area, just crossing that roundabout, I received a text, I'm here. I pull on the left somewhere and start texting and said, well, I had to leave, I left. If you wanna come here, I'm halfway. I can meet you at one stop shopping center car park. No, I'm not coming there, you come back. I said, sorry, mate, I've been there already. I'm a busy person, I have other things to do today, I'm not coming back. If you want to come, you come. I cannot tell you what an avalanche of swearing and bad wishes I've started receiving. Called me a rat, F-word in all possible versions, wishing me that I will have a crash car accident on my way home. All these things. Now I'm human, I'm like you. Don't imagine that my tension was fine, you know. I felt the blood coming up and I was with my phone and said, I'm sorry, mate, I'm not like you. I'm a man of character. I was there, I was waiting 25 minutes. I don't need that thing, but I can buy it somewhere else. Be blessed. When I said be blessed, another long list, another avalanche of all kinds of possible swears. I still have them in my phone. You know, you see, like, at least something back, not to swear, but something like, you know. And I said, I bless you, mate. I bless you. I'm sure you'll sell that thing to someone else. It's fine. Be blessed. Just remember, I had it fresh in my mind. Oh, I am rich, you rat, you perhaps cannot afford it, something like that. Said, well, what else I can say? I said, no, I'm not going to say anything else, but look, I'm praying for you that one day you'll turn to be civilized and you'll be a man of character. Once again, be blessed, have a nice day. And I left. by the time I arrived home, another series of those curses and stuff like that. And that was all. So I took it as a test, because it's easy to preach, but then, you know, you don't have to return the same way, but at least you don't want to be polite, or you don't want, or you want to be to ignore. On purpose, I thought, let's develop this and send back some nice wishes. Speak well of, because that's what the blessing means. And then I sent a few other sentences, developed, not just bless you, but wishing him well. That was the end. I didn't receive anything back. You never know how a person like this, after years and years, when God will come to visit him. Remember this. And I believe this is what we are called to do. That's what the Bible says here. We are called to bless, to speak well, to wish people well, to offer them positive affirmations, even when they swear. You are not able to do something, you know, palpable. You cannot offer help. You cannot offer goods. You cannot put things in action in that respect, but at least you can speak well. Now, remember in the past, especially when we were in James, we've learned about the power of affirmations. There's so much power in the words. Since we start speaking to our children, the way we speak to them, we affirm them or not, that will help their development or will hinder their development in life. And here, I believe, although it can be seen in both ways from a grammatical point of view, what Peter says, we are called to bless. This is our calling. From the very beginning, when we look in the Bible, from the Garden of Eden, when God created man, Adam and Eve, Genesis 1:28, after he created them, the text says he blessed them. Now, we don't know how he blessed them. Did he bless them with a car? Did he bless them with a villa? Did he bless them with goods? No. He blessed them. He spoke well over them. He spoke his intention for them, because as you read later on, their calling is to fill the earth. To multiply and fill the earth, and by filling the earth, reflecting God's image across the earth. Their call was to bless the entire earth with God's presence and God's image. This is our call. And it's not because this is not a conditional here. If you are blessing, then you will inherit something. No, no, no. Let me put it this way, because we are blessed, and because we are blessed and we are already having an inheritance, we are called to bless. Think of Abraham. He was called by God to leave his country, to move somewhere else. I will bless you, and you will be a blessing for all the earth, for the nations. So we are not called to bless in order to be blessed, but because we are blessed, we are called to bless. And this is our mission. And notice that this thing about inheritance, this is not a conditional thing, once again, because if we bless or not, then we will see about inheritance. It's not earning something, an inheritance. It's not earned. Is it right? When I will leave, hopefully, a good inheritance for my children. And they will get it some time in their life. This is not because they are earning it, but because they are mine. They are not earning it. It's because they are mine. They are blessed to be mine. I'm blessed to have them. And therefore, they are going to have an inheritance. So we are not called to have an inheritance. We already have it. We are called to bless. Over 600 times we have these references in the Old Testament of people of God blessing others, being called to be a blessing. And I have lots of references here that I don't have time to read. But we have some examples and some special texts that we often refer to. So for instance, when we are doing baby blessings, baby dedications, we love, especially within the Romanian church, but even in the English, we love to read that text in number 6, 24, 25. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. I will return to this idea of face because the text brings it. Then we have a lovely text in Jeremiah 17. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to be bear fruit. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, and God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. So you see, everything, he is the source of blessing. We are just the channel, if you like, the vehicle. If we are connected to the source of blessing, this is our call. When you go to your tap in the house, you expect that when you turn it on, water will come. That's the call of a tap, to deliver water. By the way, I don't know in your case, but last week, for a few days, we have a very funny color in the water, so we couldn't use it. We didn't thought the problem is with the tap. I didn't thought the problem is with the piping in the house, but I thought there is an issue along the way or from the source. So I didn't change anything in the house. Because although I expect when I go to the tap and turn it on to get water, I am fully aware that that tap is connected to a source. And the water comes from the source. We are the taps of blessings in the community, in the church, if we are connected. And if we are connected with God, that's what Peter says. Your call, you are a tap. That's your call, to bless. Doesn't matter if somebody comes and hit. I mean, if you go with a very large piece of metal and you hit that tap in the house, you may have a flood of water, because that tap broke under pressure but couldn't offer anything else but water. That's how a Christian should be. No matter what kind of pressure comes on you, maybe broken pieces, should come nothing else but blessing out of us if we are connected to the source. That's why, because we are connected, because we are blessed, we are called to count our blessings, to be aware of them. While Nelson once says, when I started counting my blessings, my whole life turned around. Arthur Burke, I bless you with being everything that God has designed you to be, because as you experience the joy of fulfilling your purpose, you will benefit others, others will benefit, and the world will be blessed. But time flies, and we need to conclude. From now on, Peter quotes a portion of scriptures from Psalm 34, verses 12 to 16. It is believed that on those days, The first church, those Christians, used to use this Psalm 34, among others, as a catechism, as a way of discipling others. There is so much teaching in this. And he now offers some reasons why we should react in this way. Whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. So he says, if you love life, you know, you should keep your tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. I'd rather speak well. Speak well of positive affirmations. They must turn from evil and do good. They must speak peace and pursue it. These are peacemakers, not peace breakers. You see, under any sort of circumstances, we are called to speak peace. When you speak well, when you speak positive, you'll calm down spirits. You'll not add gasoline on fire, but you will come with those extinguishers of God's grace to stop the fire. And then there is a second reason. Four, there is something else. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now, these are three metaphors often found in scripture. Although we all know that God is not a physical person, he doesn't really have eyes like we have, and ears like we have, and a face like we have, except of Jesus Christ, which is a different discussion. Jesus Christ ascended to heaven with a body like ours, transformed, metamorphosed. And we will see him. But God, in his essence, he doesn't have these things. These are just metaphors in the Bible, but often used. And even in that blessings in number 6, the Lord make his face shine on you. So throughout the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, but throughout the Bible, briefly, when we refer to God showing his face, shining his face, turning his face towards us and so on, we really understand it in terms of favor. When somebody turns towards you, it gives you attention. He's showing you favor. Or sometimes, with few references, in terms of wrath. And this is the piece that Peter leaves it out from Psalm 34. Those of you who had the curiosity to really look in Psalm 34, the last piece in verse 16, he leaves it out. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to blot out their name from the earth. That piece is left out, to blot out their name from the earth. Because he's speaking now under the dispensation of grace. And God's will is that all people should be saved. However, it is our choice. If we receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, if we experience his nature in us, we are going to manifest those things he spoke, and we are in a safe place. We are already in the blessing place. The shower of God's blessings are upon us. We cannot seek more and more because we are already under a cascade of blessings, and we are called to bless others. But those who do not, they are outside of Christ. And Jesus puts it very clear what happens when we deny him and reject him. In John chapter 3, verse 36, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. It's here. It's blessed already. We cannot seek more blessings. Yeah, in our prayer we say, bless me, Lord, bless that. Yeah, it's okay, but we are already under a cascade of blessings. But those who reject the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them. Remains. They choose deliberately to be outside of God's blessing, outside of God's salvation, outside of God's redemption. And they remain under God's wrath. Believe it or not, there is a present wrath of God, and there is a future wrath of God coming upon the entire earth. If you are blessed, you are blessed because you accepted Jesus Christ in your life. You experienced the new birth, and now you are called to bless because this is your call. If not, believe me, in your flesh, you cannot do it. It's impossible. You will just respond in the same way, evil to evil, and you remain under God's wrath. To conclude with a joke, while Marie will come on the stand with Sandra, it is said of a thief, a robber, who once broke in a house to rob, to steal something, while the owner was away. So looking around in the darkness with a little torch for valuable things, he found that and that, collecting it and looking for some more. He suddenly hears a voice, "Jesus sees you. Jesus sees you." Jesus sees me. Okay, he's in heaven. He may see me. What? Doesn't matter. But Jesus sees you. Then he was curious. Who says this? You know, he turns the light on. He sees this little parrot. "Jesus sees you." And say, hey, okay, it's just a parrot. But then the parrot said, "Jesus, attack!" When he looks back, a big bulldog called Jesus was on him. So right now, you may hear through the gospel, Jesus sees you. His wrath is real. But one day, that wrath is going to attack. You rather move on his side. Be blessed, and you will continue to bless others. Amen.